Anybody need a handout tonight? We've got two pages of handouts. Anybody need those? Lift up your hand real high if you need one. Take your Bible and go to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to continue our verse-by-verse study here in this book. And it's been exciting. And if you need to, some of you maybe were in Awana and you need to get caught up. We've got all of the messages, Bible studies on CD. And also, in fact, if you're a Awana worker, we give those to you. You can donate something towards that if you'd like to, but you don't have to. We can give those to you. And then also, we've got past notes back in the foyer on the information table. You can get your notebook. You can also get a notebook. Kathy, where can they get a notebook if they were in Awana? At the Welcome Center? Okay, so if you can go to the Welcome Center, get a notebook, and then you can get all the past notes and put them in your folder and get all caught up, okay? We're in Galatians chapter 2 tonight, and last week we've covered verses 1 through 5, but let's go ahead and let's read through it just so we can kind of, get up to date, all right? Galatians 2, verse 1. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. The Apostle Paul said, I was heading to Jerusalem with Barnabas and Titus. Why? Verse 2, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them, the people at Jerusalem, that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. In other words, the leaders of the church. Lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. So before, remember, he's heading there for the Jerusalem Council, Acts 15. Man, there was a big stink at the church in Antioch, Paul's home church, because people were coming from Jerusalem saying, well, you Gentiles aren't really saved. What do you mean we're not saved? No, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep the law of Moses or you're not saved. And so these Gentiles, been saved by the grace of God, man, they're rejoicing in Christ. They're rejoicing in their salvation. Now these people come from Jerusalem and they say, well, you're not really saved. you talk about an uproar. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says they had a disputation with these people. I mean, they had it out. Well, finally it was decided, we'll go to Jerusalem where you guys came from. We'll go to your home church and we're going to settle this thing. We'll get with Peter, James, John, the 12. We'll get with all of them, and we're going to settle this issue once and for all. And so they head to Jerusalem. Verse 2 says, by revelation. They went by, according to the will of God. I know, yeah, our Louisiana team is coming in looking kind of ragged, but aren't you glad to have them back? Amen. They're here. Praise God. It's good to see you guys. Man, I tell you. It was a long drive from Louisiana, wasn't it? Yeah, I've done that many times. That's a long drive. Yes, sirree. All right, good to have you guys back. We just started the Bible study just now. You're just at the beginning. So Paul and Barnabas and Titus, who was a Gentile. In fact, look at verse 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. There were people that were obviously urging Titus, this saved Gentile young man, well, you need to be circumcised, young man, if you really want to be saved. And so they were trying to compel Titus to go along with their, thing of, okay, you got to be circumcised if you're really saved. Well, look at verse 4. And that because of false brethren, unawares, brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And so they're trying to compel Titus to be circumcised. Paul and Barnabas, they would not give in to the pressure, because for them to agree to that would have been admitting that Titus was missing something in his Christian life. Aren't you glad to know that if somebody comes to you and somebody says, well, yeah, I know you say you've been saved, but you know what? You need to have this experience if you really want to, be complete. Or you need to go through this act or do this ritual if you really want to be complete. You need to do this. Aren't you glad to know that we have an example here of someone, Titus, who was saved by the grace of God, never had anything to do with the law, never had anything to do with Judaism, never had been circumcised, which we're going to study that out tonight and find out what that means, never had done any of that, and Paul said, no, we will not allow you to compel him to do this. We will not subject to you. You're trying to bring us into bondage. And listen, folks, if anyone ever tries to pressure you into feeling like you're missing something, you know, because, oh yeah, I know you've been saved, but you're missing this or that, aren't you glad to know that you can look them in the face and say, I am complete in Christ. Not missing a thing. I'm complete in the Lord. I'm complete in Him. I'm in Christ, and I'm not missing a thing. And so that's what Paul is standing for here. That's why he went to Jerusalem to fight this thing out and to make sure that the truth of the gospel, look at verse 5, he said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour. Why did he stand? Why did Paul bother? Why did he even bother to go to Jerusalem? Paul wasn't commissioned from Jerusalem. Remember? Well, let me ask you, when Paul got saved, did he consult with the 12? Did Paul get his authority from the 12 apostles? No. Did Paul get his message of grace? Did he learn it from the 12? Did the church at Jerusalem commission him? Yes or no? No, none of that. No authority came from Jerusalem to Paul. But yet Paul goes ahead and goes face to face with these people on their home turf at Jerusalem. Why? That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. And every one of us in here better be glad that Paul stood up for the gospel of grace. Because had he not stood up, man, where would we be today? Think about that. Really let that sink in. Okay, look at verse 6. We kind of started this, but we didn't get through it last week. So this is where you need to get your notes ready. It says, but of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. Man, like I said last week, Paul was not into church politics, was he? Paul could not care less about trying to brown nose with the Jerusalem leaders and move up the ecclesiastical ladder. In your handout, it says men and their positions did not impress Paul. He was enamored with one, Jesus Christ. He said in 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no man glory in men. You don't glory in men. In your handout, it says Paul respected the leaders at Jerusalem. Okay? Otherwise, he never would have gone there in the first place. All right? But it says in your handout, he did not fear them or seek to pacify them in any way. Think about this. He's going up there and he's meeting in conference with Peter, James. Not the James that was one of the 12, the James that was the half-brother of Jesus Christ. And he had kind of moved up because of that relationship with Christ. He kind of moved up the ladder. He was an unbeliever. He had gotten saved. Now he is kind of the leader at the church at Jerusalem. So he's meeting with Peter and James and John, the beloved, you know, and who gave us the Gospel of John. He's meeting with these guys. Thomas is there probably, Bartholomew, Philip, Andrew. He's meeting with these guys that walked with the Lord for 3.5 years. And Paul says that I met in conference with those who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. Ooh, wow. That's something, isn't it? Now, you know what? Paul's not being cocky or arrogant. Paul is simply stating a fact. Paul is not going to glory in men. He's going to glory in Jesus Christ, period. Okay? Good lesson to learn, what we talked about last week, right? The lesson that we learned last week and I talked to you about. That when someone blesses your heart or some preacher, you know, don't get enamored, you know, with a man and think, oh, he's just next to God and, oh, he is just wonderful. You know what? If he blesses you, you got to understand, it's Christ in him. It's that treasure and that earthen vessel flowing through him that's blessing you. It's Christ ministering through him. Whenever someone sings, whenever someone ministers, whenever someone blesses us, whenever someone teaches or preaches, and it ministers to our spirit, you know what? We need to give the glory to God. We don't need to get into praising and elevating men. Paul said, he said, God accepted no man's person. And so Paul here makes it clear that he was not impressed by these guys' position, okay, or what they had done. And then he says, look at verse 6 at the end. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. So Paul meets with these church leaders and he says they could not add anything to me. In other words, what were these 12 apostles? Most of whom were fishermen, tax collectors. Okay? And what are they going to teach Paul, who was a Pharisee, who was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, taught the scriptures from childhood at the feet of Gamaliel, who was a famous Jewish teacher? Paul was well acquainted with the law and the prophets. And so what are they going to teach him about God's prophetic program for the nation of Israel? Paul, like I said, he was way up the ladder in Judaism. He was a Pharisee. He was way up there, folks. He, in fact, back in chapter 1, remember what he said? He said, man, I was more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. So, Paul was way up there. Now, in your notes it says there, and by the way, Paul had been saved 17 years at this point in Galatians. 17 years at the Jerusalem Council, Paul had been saved. And in your handout, it says in 17 years, he had only spent 2 weeks with a couple of the apostles. We know of Peter and James for sure, but that's it. And we found that out in chapter 1, 18 and 19. In 17 years, he'd only spent 2 weeks with a couple of the apostles. And they and he said that they could that he, and the and in your handout there, okay, if you'll look at that with me, it says there was nothing they could teach Paul about God's plan for this dispensation of grace. Why? Here's why. Let me give it to you in your handout. Because while they, the 12, while they continued working with Israel, God was revealing the new truths of grace to Paul, and then Paul was in turn writing to the Gentile churches. So while they added nothing to Paul in conference, there was much that Paul could add to them. Paul must have explained to them there in that conference. He had the Jerusalem church leaders there. Paul must have explained to them the message and the ministry of grace that Christ had given him by revelation. Because, well, let's move on. Verse 7 will explain why I say that. He says, but contrariwise, when they saw, listen, when the Jerusalem leaders saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto who? Peter. Now let's stop there. I'm going to explain this and we're going to get into some good teaching here, and I don't want to lose you. Okay, the 12 apostles, obviously they recognized the Gentile ministry that God had commissioned Paul to fulfill. Paul had, as we studied, now you need to, if you missed chapter 1, it's incredibly important that you understand Galatians 1. If you understand Galatians 1 and the unique message and ministry that God gave Paul, it'll open up the whole New Testament to you. Okay? It will open up the Bible to you if you understand Galatians 1. So if you miss that, go back and get the CDs. And there was about five Bible studies in Galatians 1. You really need to get them and you need to listen to them. Because Paul had a very unique message and ministry that was given to him by Christ. A lot of people think that Paul was just kind of preaching a revamped kind of version of what the 12 was preaching, and that Paul was kind of an extension of what the 12 were doing. Nothing could be further from the truth. We learned in chapter 1, Paul had been given a distinct, separate revelation from Christ, that he had been given a new message, and he called it the gospel which was preached of me, he said, is not after man. He said, I didn't receive it of man, neither was I taught it, but I was taught it by the direct revelation of Jesus Christ. We learned all that in chapter 1. Now, what does he mean here in chapter 2 here, verse 7, when he says, the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me, the gospel of the circumcision was given to Peter? What does he mean by that? Two different gospels? Two different... Gospel means what? Remember from Sunday? Gospel means good news. So he had good news for the, and then Peter had good news. What does he mean by that? Let's dive in and look at your notes. I'm going to explain it to you. We're going to begin with the gospel of the circumcision. And in your handout, it says Abraham was the first person given the rite of circumcision. Abraham. Okay? Why? Here's why. We know now that medical knowledge has discovered all of the health benefits that go with circumcision. That's why most babies today are circumcised, okay? And we've learned that, but back then they didn't know that. That was very, very uncommon, and all of the Gentile nations, they were called uncircumcised. Well, when God called Abraham, and from Abraham would come the seed of Israel, God gave him the rite of circumcision to separate Abraham's seed from all the wicked, pagan, uncircumcised nations around them. And in your handout, it says, through Abraham's physical seed came the nation of Israel. Okay? They were referred to, Israel was referred to as the circumcision. And it says in your handout, it was prophesied that through Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. I want you to take your Bible now and keep your bookmarker here. Go to the book of Acts, chapter 3. Through Israel, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. That was the promise given to Abraham back in Genesis. In Acts 3, we see Peter reiterating that as he's preaching to Israel. Acts chapter 3, and look with me at verse 25. Acts 3:25. He said to Israel, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be what? Blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Okay, so stay with me now. Okay? Abraham was given the rite of circumcision. From him came the seed, the nation of Israel. They were referred to as the circumcision. It was prophesied that through them, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Here's the problem, though. Okay, in your handout, it says Israel had rejected their king, Jesus. They had rejected him. What did they cry out? When Christ was brought before Pilate, what did the Jews cry out? Crucify him. They had rejected their king. Okay? And they rejected him, but now Peter, I hope you're still in, are y'all still in Acts 3? Okay. Peter proclaims good news to them. He proclaimed a gospel, a good news to them. And here in your handout it says, here was the good news. If they, Israel, would repent and turn to Christ, God would forgive their sins and send Jesus to establish their earthly kingdom, by which all the Gentile nations would be blessed. That's the good news. Look at Acts 3. Okay, you're already there. And look what Peter says to Israel. Verse 19. "Repent ye therefore." He just talked about how they crucified Christ. He says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be" what? "Blotted out." He's talking to Israel. "When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since" when? "The world began." So now look up here, folks. So Peter preaches good news to them. You have crucified your Messiah, but there's good news. If you'll repent of doing that, if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize Him as your Messiah, as your King, then the promise is that Christ will return and He'll bring that restitution, that earthly kingdom that He promised you, and He will make you, Israel, that blessing to all nations that He intended for you to be all along. Do y'all see the good news? Yes or no? Okay? Now that's the gospel of the circumcision. That's the good news to Israel. In your handout, it says the 12 apostles focused their efforts on proclaiming this gospel to Israel and seeking to bring them to repentance and faith in Christ as their Messiah. Look at Acts chapter 8. Turn over there. This is an interesting verse. Acts 8, Stephen has just been stoned by an angry mob of Jews. Okay, Israel is not repenting and they're not turning to Christ by and large. Okay, some are, but very few, proportionately. Acts 8:1, after Stephen is stoned, it says, and Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. Now, are y'all with me? There's this great persecution that comes against the church at Jerusalem. What's the result? Look at it. And they were all what? Scattered abroad. Man, they're running for their life. Scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria. But what's the last three words of that verse? Except the apostles. Why did the apostles stay at Jerusalem? Because they had a job to do. Their job was to seek to bring the leadership of Israel to repentance. That was their mission. They knew that it had to start in Jerusalem. You see, they're still operating not based on what we know, because Paul hadn't even been saved yet. They don't know there's going to be a dispensation of grace. They don't know God's going to pour out grace to the world despite Israel's rejection. In their minds, all they know is what they know from prophecy. And that is, if the nations will be blessed, if the message is to get out, it must start here in Jerusalem. We've got to bring, you know, Jerusalem to repentance. Then from there, it will spread out from here. So the apostles stay hunkered down in Jerusalem, okay, because they are seeking to bring Israel to repentance. How? With the good news, okay, that if they will repent and turn to Jesus, that those times of restitution will come, Christ will return, give Israel that kingdom, and they will be a blessing to all nations. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Are you sure you're with me?
Amen.
All right, okay. Now, that's the gospel of the circumcision. That's the good news to Israel. And look back with me at Galatians 2. Let's flip back over there. And notice it says in Galatians 2:7, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, Paul said, as the gospel of the circumcision, that good news to Israel was unto who?
Peter.
Okay? Now, let's go to the next thing in your notes. What is the gospel of the uncircumcision? Well, in your handout it says, in the Bible, the uncircumcision refers to the Gentile nations. So, anybody that's not Israel is among the uncircumcised. So, any nation that's not Israel is Gentile. It's they're called the uncircumcised. That's referring to all Gentile nations, non-Israel nations. Okay? Now, Paul says that this gospel to the Gentiles was committed unto him. What was this good news? What was this gospel? And in your handout, it says it was the good news that individuals in all nations could be saved, forgiven of all their sins, and reconciled to God through faith alone in Jesus Christ. And in your handout, it says, here's the good news. Gentiles could be made righteous apart from Israel, apart from the keeping of the law, and apart from the rite of circumcision. That was the good news. God was offering peace to all of His enemies in the world, You don't have to go through Israel. You don't have to become a Jew. You don't have to become a proselyte into Judaism. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to do any of that. All you got to do is believe Christ died for your sins on the cross, that He rose from the dead, that He alone is the way of eternal life. And when you call upon Him, I don't care where you are. I don't care if you're in a jungle somewhere. I don't care if you're some naked cannibal on an island. I don't care if you're in America, Mexico, Russia, wherever. If you call upon Jesus, He will save you. And He will impart His righteousness to you. And you can be justified. That's the good news God gave Paul to go to the nations. And this is kind of a side note. It's not even in your notes. And this is just something to throw out on the CD if somebody ever wants to study it out. But Paul is so smart. In defending the gospel that he preached, he actually goes back and uses Abraham, who is the father of Israel, to prove the legitimacy of his gospel of faith alone in Christ. He actually takes the father of the Jewish nation, Abraham, because you see, Abraham was the first one to start it. So when God saved Abraham, and before He ever gave him the rite of circumcision, God imparted righteousness to Abraham by faith alone. He said to Abraham, in fact, you can study out Romans 4 sometime, okay, Romans 4, and you'll find that He uses Abraham as an example of a man that was a Gentile. He was an uncircumcised Gentile when God saved him. He said to Abraham, "Abraham, look up at the stars. Your seed is going to be as the stars of heaven." And that was the promise. That was the good news to Abraham. Abraham chose to believe that good news by faith, just by faith alone. He didn't do a thing. The law hadn't been given. The rite of circumcision hadn't been given. He was an uncircumcised Gentile, and he looked up to heaven, and he believed. And the Bible says when he believed, it was counted to him for righteousness. That's a great illustration of how we're saved today. We look in faith to the finished work of Christ, and the moment we do, the righteousness of Christ is given to us. Amen? This is so much fun, isn't it? I just love studying this out. This is why Paul took Titus, by the way, to Jerusalem with him. Because Titus was a wonderful example of a man that had simply just trusted Jesus. He had accepted Christ by faith, and God had changed his heart. God had changed his life. Titus was like us, man. He just a lost pagan Gentile, but he put his faith in Jesus, and God had changed his life. And Titus was living proof that Paul's gospel of the uncircumcision was legitimate and it was real. So that's why he hauled Titus with him to Jerusalem, because he's like, here's exhibit A of someone who's been saved apart from your law. He's been saved apart from anything to do with Jerusalem. He's been saved apart from the rite of circumcision. And yet God has changed his life. The basis, by the way, let me explain one thing before we move on. Peter had the gospel, the good news of the circumcision. If Israel, if you'll repent, if you'll turn to Jesus, then and believe He rose from the dead, that He is your Messiah, then He will bring those times of restitution and He'll make you a blessing to all nations. That was their good news. The Gentiles' good news that God gave to Paul later was anyone can be saved in any nation by putting their faith in Christ. But here's what I want you to understand. Both of those gospels are rooted in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Okay? I want you to see that. The basis of both of those offers is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Peter could make no offer to Israel if Christ had not risen from the dead. Okay? And as you read Peter's sermons, his basis is always the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And same thing today. I can make no offer on Sunday morning to any unbelievers of eternal life apart from the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The basis of our good news for this dispensation that God gave Paul is the death, burial, and resurrection, and Peter's basis. But we see the two Gospels were not identical. They were not the same. The God. Some people try to say, well, you know, the gospel of the circumcision and gospel are the same thing. Then why did God differentiate them in verse 7? And why did he say he gave one of them to Peter and one of them to Paul? They're not the same thing. They're not identical. You can't take two separate things and then try to make them the same. But people try to put God in a box. You just study the scriptures out. You study them out and you begin to understand and realize that Peter made an offer of good news to Israel, but it was based on prophecy. Paul made an offer of good news to Gentiles, but it wasn't based on any prophecy. It was new revelation that was given to him by Jesus Christ. All right. Verse 8. It says, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision," to Israel, "the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas," that's Peter, "and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen," the Gentiles, "and they unto the," who? Who is the circumcision? Israel. In your handout, it says Peter was instrumental in bringing many people from the nation of Israel to faith in Christ. Yet as a nation, their leadership and the majority of Israel were unrepentant and even caustic towards the followers of Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Acts 2 through 7. Now, can I share something with you? You may want to make a note in your notes, because I didn't put it in there. There was so much. You know, when I type up my notes are twice as much as your notes. And you know how hard it is for me to decide what to give you and what not to give you? You know, I want to just highlight, you know, I give it to Kathy and highlight what I want in your notes. I just want to highlight the whole thing, you know. But it would get a little ridiculous and it would get a little cumbersome. But, you know, so I can't put everything in your notes that are in my notes. But this is interesting. After Acts 15, Peter and the 12 disappear off the scene. Did that ever hit you? That Peter, after the Jerusalem Council, which is what we're discussing in Galatians 2. Remember, Galatians 2 happens simultaneous with Acts 15. Okay? So the Jerusalem Council, where they're discussing these things, after this, Peter disappears. The great apostle Peter. We don't hear from him again. He disappears. There is no more from Acts 16 all the way through Acts 28. Now Paul dominates the scene. And you do not see Peter. You may want to jot that down in your notes. You do not see Peter again. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Do you think Peter was sitting around on a hammock drinking lemonade? Do you? Why don't we hear of Peter anymore? Here's why. Because from what we see in Galatians, the 12 apostles, including Peter, had agreed to confine their work to reaching Israel. Well, guess what? Hidden in the mind of God and beginning to be revealed through Paul was the fact that Israel was being put aside temporarily. God's program for Israel was being set aside. God was kind of bypassing Israel and offering salvation straight to individuals. Well, so because they were still working with Israel, that wasn't really what God was doing anymore. God wasn't working through Israel anymore, so therefore they fade off the biblical scene. And I realize that we've got 1 and 2 Peter that were written later, and I understand that. But as far as the historical record in Acts, we don't know what all Peter did after that because it's not recorded. He just kind of falls off the scene. And Paul becomes... Everything revolves around Paul now in the rest of the book of Acts. And in your handout, it says God had saved Paul in Acts 9 and revealed to him a new message of grace. God had graciously decided to extend an offer of peace to individuals in all nations. It could be accepted by faith alone in Jesus Christ. Folks, look up here. This gospel of the uncircumcision, as Paul calls it, the gospel that you and I believed in, this is the gospel that would go to the nations. Not Peter's. That was for Israel. The gospel that God gave Paul was the one that would go to the nations. And God had worked through Paul mightily to reach multitudes for Christ already. He'd already had one missionary journey under his belt. The same God that worked through Peter worked through Paul. Look at Galatians 2. He says in verse 8, "For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles." It was the same God. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me explain something else. Come here, Brother Larry. Paul, I'm Paul, he's Peter. Here at the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15, at the end of the Jerusalem Council, it ends with a historic handshake. And they give to Paul and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship. And they say, "Hey, do your thing, man. Go to the Gentiles. That's the commission that God's given you." And they say, "Okay, you go to the circumcision. You go to Israel. And that's what you feel God wants you to do. You continue to work among Israel." So it ends with a historic handshake between Paul and Peter. But what I want you to understand, it's not that Paul never witnessed to a Jew, because we know he did, all right? And it's not that Peter never witnessed to a Gentile, because we know he did. But it's the fact that they both had clearly outlined the focus of their ministries. That was the point. Paul's focus was Gentiles. Peter's focus would be working among the flock of Israel, seeking to bring them to repentance and a faith in Christ and in his resurrection. So there was a mutual understanding there. Okay, it's like, you know, if we got a missionary that's Brother Bill, the country. What's the main country that you're going to be working in? Well, one of them. Okay, Ghana. So when you're in Ghana, you know, and you meet somebody from say Canada. And you start talking to them. They just happen to be over there. They're living there in Ghana. And you meet them. "Oh, where are you from?" "I'm from Canada." "I can't witness to you. God sent me here to witness to the people of Ghana." Now, is that going to be Brother Bill's attitude? No. So it isn't that Peter never witnessed to Gentiles or that Paul never did Jews. But the focus of their ministries was clearly defined. It's clearly defined. Look with me again. This is the last thing. Look in your handout. The Jerusalem Council ended with a historic handshake between Paul and the other apostles. The leaders at Jerusalem recognized God's calling upon Paul to take the gospel of grace to the Gentiles. They recognized God's calling on Paul, okay? And they recognized that Paul's Gentile converts were indeed saved apart from any works of the law. Aren't you glad for that? Amen? Man, I am so thankful that old Paul hightailed it to Jerusalem, had a face-to-face encounter, and he got it settled that us Gentiles, we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ alone, and we don't have to do anything to work for it. It's faith alone in Christ. Amen. Paul stood for that gospel here in Galatians 2 at the Jerusalem Council, and we better be very glad that he did. All right. Man, this has been fun. You guys didn't think I was going to get through it all, did you? You're looking at them notes thinking, "He'll never make it." We made it. Next week, we're going to dive back in. Hey, guess what happens next week? Let me give you a teaser. Okay? This thing ends with a historic handshake, real camaraderie with Paul and Peter. Next week, Paul and Peter have it out. Paul has to rebuke Peter to his face for some stuff Peter was doing that wasn't right. Whew, it's going to get good. Next week, let's make sure we're back, okay? All right, let's pray. Father,